Let us pray. Father, we just thank you so much for being a God who communicates to us through your word. And you've opened up the way in which we can bring all our brokenness to you. Father, just be with each one of us. And fill our hearts. And help us be what you want us to be. Father, give me the ability to speak your word as you would have it proclaimed. In Jesus' name, amen. I learned a new vocabulary word this year. Fractography. Fractography is the study or the science of how things break. Engineers and scientists get together and they examine a product and they run different stress tests on it to see what they can do to make it not wear out, to make it not break, to make it not fail, so that they can produce a better product and therefore we'll buy that from them. As I was growing up, I had just the opposite in my mind. I thought that they designed things so that they would break, so that you'd have to go buy a new part, get it fixed, or maybe buy a new one, but you would have to do something in order to spend more money. Matter of fact, an urban legend as I was growing up was that they had a carburetor that would get 100 miles a gallon. Well, back in that day, most cars got about 20 miles a gallon. If you had a VW, it got 30 miles a gallon, and 100 miles a gallon was unthinkable. And we were told that that the oil companies bought that patent away so that that couldn't come into the market. But the reality is things break and things fix. That wasn't true. I grew up in a farm community where we fixed everything. We had retread tires. When a TV broke down, we replaced one little tube, not a whole modular or not the whole TV, but just a little tube. We took our appliances in and we had them repaired and fixed. When things were broken, we tried to fix them. We lived in a fix-it age. My father had a GMC pickup, and my brother and I, one day, were coming back from feeding the horses. The pickup did not run real well, and so we had taken the air filter off the carburetor so it could get more air and work better. As we were coming home, the pickup stalled out. And I was in the passenger seat, so it was my job to get out and open the hood. And I fiddled with the carburetor and primed it to get the gasoline to come up. And I had my brother start it. At that time, the engine backfired. Fire everywhere. I panicked. It wasn't my brightest moment. I couldn't find anything, but since we were on a gravel road and there was a handful of sand there, I threw it in the carburetor. Well, one handful wasn't enough, so I continued doing that until the fire went out. Not my brightest moment. But I tell you what, I knew enough that we weren't going to try to turn the engine back on with that foreign substance in the engine. So we towed it in and we got it fixed. You know, it's real important to understand that you know, there are certain things that we need to do to fix things. Growing up, we also always carried a pair of pliers, baling wire, and duct tape. Some of you may know Red Green. He had a saying that said, "If the women don't find you handsome, at least they should find you handy." It was a fix-it age, and we learned a lot of things by that. We learned that when things were messing up, you couldn't ignore them. If something was going wrong, you needed to fix it, because if you didn't, something else would break. It would get worse. We also learned that you had to decide what part needed to be replaced, where it was broken. Because if you went down and bought different parts, you'd end up buying three or four or five parts until you got the right one. So you have to know where it was broken. You also have to know why it broke. For example, if a fan belt goes out and you replace it, you might replace it again unless you find out why it broke. It's really important. It's also important to use original parts. If it's made by the Ford Motor Company, original parts work best. Another thing we found is that maintenance, either regular scheduled maintenance or preventive maintenance, keeps things from breaking down. An example of this was shared to me by Robin Lindsley, and he told me that there was a man in Maine that had a Honda Accord that ran 1,000,000 miles. Now, I believe Robin, but I wanted to check it out for myself. So I went and looked at this car that ran 1,000,000 miles, and the reason that it ran 1,000,000 miles, and the reason that I believe that it ran 1,000,000 miles, is because the owner took 661 photos of the odometer and kept extensive records of all the maintenance on the vehicle, and so it was verifiable. And matter of fact, Honda bought him a new car. But no matter how good we take care of things, things break. That's the design. You know, there was a time when God made creation, when things did not break and things did not wear out. He made the world and all of creation flawless, perfect. He made a tree and planted it in the garden, and he told man that he could not eat of that tree of good and evil, and the day that he ate of that tree, that he would die. Man ate of that fruit, and because of sin, because of the disobedience of man, sin entered the world, and something happened. The curse, the decay, death, disease, destruction came into the world. Romans chapter 8 tells us about the curse of the world. It tells us that against its will, all creation was subject to God's curse, and that all creation has been groaning, is groaning. Groaning is the sound that I make when I get up now that I'm older. Right? Some of you are there too, aren't you? It's also the sound of, if you have a motor, a high screaming motor that's running, and when it goes, it means it's wearing out, it's shutting off, it's out of power. Groaning is something that we can relate with. It means that we are wearing out, that we are broken. We too are under the curse as individuals. You see, sin entered the world, and we're all broken. Romans chapter 3:23 tells us that we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We're all broken. Broken physically, broken spiritually, and broken emotionally. I'm looking forward to the days when we can get our new bodies, when there will be a new heaven and earth. But meanwhile, there's also a brokenness that comes as sin. When sin entered the world, brokenness came. And sin enters my life, brokenness comes. In HOPE, our HOPE group, it stands for Heavenly Options for Pain and Emptiness. It's for those that are in recovery. But I want to say to you this morning that we're all in recovery. We're all broken inside, and we're all recovering from something. We need that renewal, that revival of God's Spirit, and then we need a continual regeneration by the Holy Spirit in our life to remove that brokenness. Brokenness is that reality. Ezekiel reminds us that each of us are responsible for our own sin. I'm not responsible for yours. You're not responsible for me. But when we sin, it separates us from God. He says the person that sins is the one who will die. It's up to me to see that I receive God's healing in my life. The problem that gets in my way is self-will. The reality is that is the problem with all of us. If you're looking at sin, the root of all sin is self-will, self-centeredness, selfishness. It's the big S in sin. The little S in sin are all the things that we do. But we do that because of the brokenness that we have within us and the tendency towards self-will. We need to learn how to remove self out of the equation. There is no external solution to an internal problem. We have to have God fix us. We cannot fix ourselves. Casey Blair does our sign out here, and I want to thank him. He's got a saying on there that says, "Let your resolution be his solution." You see, God has a solution for that brokenness inside of us. As much as we want peace and serenity, we want that brokenness to leave us, that emptiness, that pain that's in our life for several different reasons. As much as we want that God wants that more for us. He loves us so much that He does not want to leave us broken. And He draws us to Him. One thing that doesn't run out of power is the Word of God. Grass withers, flowers fade, but the Word of God endures forever. God has a solution for us. When sin came in the world, He could no longer have fellowship with man. He walked on earth with Adam. But when sin came, He could no longer walk on earth with Adam. And so He still longed for that relationship with us, to communicate with us. And so He communicated with us. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1 and 2 reminds us that He spoke to us through the fathers, through the prophets, but now speaks to us through His Son. He speaks to us through the life of Jesus. John 8 says, "If you hold to my teachings, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." We have to know and hold on to the teachings of Jesus. We're set free by His wounds. By His stripes, we are healed. And as we hear God's Word, whether it be by oral tradition or whether it be by reading and studying and meditate on it, that's how God speaks to us. And if we'll follow those, hold on to those, like our life depended on it, He will transform our life. He will heal our brokenness. I want to look real quick at Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 through 27, and pull out some of these verses here, because I believe they are the way we get it from here to here. You know, so often we're saying, "Okay, Dan, that makes a lot of sense, and you're right, I agree with you, but how do I get it in here?" Here's what He tells us. Listen to it. He says, "Pay attention. Listen carefully, don't lose sight." As Virgil reminded us as we read that scripture, man cannot live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We need to listen to God. We need to get into His Word. We need to also put it into action. It's the healing manual for our life. It's the instruction life. It's like a lamp that guides our way. And we need to read that. Also, we need to pray to God. Listen to His Word. His Word will help us to be able to discern what is my desires, what is my self-will against God's will. You know, it's real confusing for me sometimes. I have a hard time seeing that. But when it's someone else's life, I can tell you clearly what it is. The problem is my emotions get in the way. We need to listen to God's word and let Him change us. It says, let them penetrate deep into us. That reminds me of Hebrews chapter 4, where it talks about the word being the sword that can go all the way through us to our heart. It's like today we would call that a laser beam. You can't see where it's gone in, but it's gone in and it's made change and transformation in our heart. It cuts the root issues out of our that are there, the strongholds that we're not letting God change and transform. As we read God's word, they shatter those strongholds. They convict us. You know, I'm so amazed. I hear God's word. We had a team meeting, and we had Howard Norton come in. And he shared a lot of things that I'd heard before. But I watched his words convict each person in that room in different ways of things that we could do to be better team members. And I appreciated that. I see on Sunday morning when Steve preaches, I hear someone in our hope group that gets one thing from it. Another person hears another thing. We are all hearing what God wants us to hear, because His word does not go out void. Again, I said this morning as we came in, God wanted to say something to us through His word. He always does. And we need to listen. We need to discern. We also need to guard our hearts and keep impurities out. Preston Miller is a young baby that we've been praying for. He wasn't supposed to live. Or he was supposed to die shortly after he was born. He's had two kidney surgeries, and he's fighting for his life. But one thing that's very important, guard your hearts, is we've got to keep him away from infection. Infection will be his downfall. And so the doctors are doing everything they can to keep the infection out. You and I need to guard our hearts. We need to get into God's word deeper than we've ever done before to keep the infection out, to keep Satan from destroying, because he's a thief who has come to kill, to steal, and destroy, and we must stand against him. But God has come that we might have life and have it eternally. We must also mark out a path for our life. You know, preventive maintenance is good, but we have to know where we're going. We have to choose God's will. We have to have a plan and purpose for our life. It may not be clear. You know, people ask me so often, what is God's plan and purpose for my life? Walk in His will. Remove self-will. It's like a flashlight, and I shine it. I can't see way ahead. I don't know what God has for me, but I can see my next step. And when I take that, I can see the next one. And I can see the next one. When we walk with God, we walk one step at a time, but our plans, our purpose, are in Him. And we have to look straight, to fix our eyes ahead. Don't compare yourself with someone else. Compare yourself with God. Let His words dwell in you richly. Let them change you. We need to know what the Beatitudes are. Not just know them to be able to quote them, but know them to be able to live them. The Sermon on the Mount, the fruit of the Spirit, those things are things we have to have in our life. Continual maintenance. You know, A car won't last very long if you drive it broken. Our lives need to come before God, and we need to stay on that path. Don't get sidetracked. You know, so often in our life, our marriages go a place where we never intended for them to be. Our relationships go in a place we never intended for them to be. We have conflict at work. And it's many times because self gets in the way. If we are following God's word in our life, if we love God with all our heart, mind, and soul, if we love our neighbor as ourselves and we're treating others as we would have them treat us, the world changes. When God gets in us, He transforms us and changes us. I want to challenge us this morning. I read a book, I did not read a book. A book caught my eye. And it was called The Year of Living Biblically, One Man's Humble Request to Follow the Bible. And then I read, as literally as possible. I knew the Apostle Paul did not write that book. Okay? This was written by a man who was an editor for Esquire magazine. He comes from a Jewish background, claims to be an agnostic, and he came to the conclusion that you can't do it. What you'll end up doing is you cannot follow the law exactly. You cannot follow all the rules, but what you'll do is you'll pick and choose the ones that you want to follow. Steve has challenged us, and I want us to look at that. I think in 2012, we want to be a congregation shaped by scriptures. He gave us several challenges last week in reading God's word. Memorizing and meditating on it, to commit to coming on Wednesday night for Southside University, an in-depth study of God's Word, to commit to coming on Sunday morning and reading and listening to what God has to say, for reading our Bible for all it's worth. And I think we can even come up with even other ways in which we can do and accomplish that. But I wonder what we will look like after a year if we, as a congregation, as individuals, look towards that and really try to do that. I want to read some quotes from a lady that I had her write me a letter from our hope group, and she was sharing some of these ideas, and so I wanted to share them with you. And so with her permission, I'm going to read some of those things. But she's from our hope group, and she's talking about a time when she was in the Tarrant County Jail, and she said that she started to do Bible studies there out of boredom. I heard the scriptures talk to me. I will never forget how broken I became in my spirit. I broke down and cried for days. The more I studied, the hungrier I got. I wanted answers. And through that process, she made a decision. Her life started to change. She was baptized in water and received the Holy Spirit. A transformation was taking place. She goes on and says, I could show love, true love. Showing no prejudice, I began to be grateful for everything. I was grateful for my arrest, sentencing, and the time that I had to study with eyes wide open. My speech began to line up with my thoughts. The ants, automatic negative thoughts, ants in my head were changing. I was able to stop cursing and talking badly about other people. I know now that all people matter and their feelings matter. only because I decided I wanted everything I do and say to be seasoned with salt. When we get into God's Word, God will change us. He will transform us. You may be here this morning, and you may want to have God give you an opportunity to start all over again and to walk with Him. His Word has convicted you that you need to be born again. If you're wanting to do that this morning, the waters are ready and we will bury you in Christ in baptism, with Christ in baptism. You might be here this morning and you may not be living the way that you know God really wants you to do. And you may want to make that public because sin has come in your life and you've tried to do it quietly, and you just can't get rid of it without confessing that and having the body pray for you. I want you to come as we sing in a moment. But you might also just resolve in your heart to make things different. You don't have to come forward to do that. You can make a commitment in your heart that you're going to drink at the fountain of living water. You're going to eat of the bread of life, and your body and your soul will be transformed, and your brokenness will go away, because that's the power of God. You may want just to pray with the elders. The elders are going to be scattered around the auditorium, and you may want to just pray with one of them, and just to know that someone's going to lift you up in prayer. But whatever your need is, won't you come as together we stand and sing?